to Educate and Rejuvenate the podcast, the show that helps you teach and live well. I'm Kelsey Sorensen, a former classroom teacher, current homeschool mom, and a proud Teacher Goals author. I'm on a mission to help educators of all kinds not just survive, but thrive. Are you ready to educate and rejuvenate? Let's go.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to our next Summer Sips podcast episode. I am so thrilled for this one. We're starting just a minute early because I wanted to make sure that we are streaming on Facebook, which it looks like there are no tech issues. Those of you who've been here, we're like just trying to be prepared. I asked Susan to come 15 minutes early and she was in the room and we were good to go. And looks like we are smooth sailing today. So welcome, everybody. As usual, please pop in the chat. Tell us where you're tuning in from. Ask us any of your questions that you have about your writing block, because that is what we're talking about today. I'm here with Susan from Shared Teaching. She is really an expert in your writing block, and that is what she's going to be talking about during our Educate and Rejuvenate Summer 2025 event. So, Susan, would you like to, well, I guess, okay, we're right at 3 o'clock. I'll give like 30 seconds until we have you totally introduce yourself. Do you want to share something fun and random with everybody about yourself?
Sure. I think the most random thing is that I used to teach in the Middle East in the United Arab Emirates. Yep. So, and no, I did not have to wear coverings, although it was.
That's good.
Regular clothes had to be covered, you know, like wrist to ankle.
Yeah.
Didn't have to wear the whole burqa and stuff, but very different, very unique.
I just imagine that would be so hot, like temperature-wise, you know.
For sure, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, plus, it's also a really hot desert.
Yes, right. Okay, welcome, everybody. I see Sarah and Jenny and Katie and Margaret in the chat. Welcome. Remember, every comment that you comment, that was interesting, on this video, you are entered in to win our Starbucks giveaway. We do that for each episode of our Summer Sip series. We are giving away Starbucks. This is like your coffee chat or whatever your favorite drink is. Hello, Latrice. Margaret says, I've had the pleasure of hearing her before. She's great. Yes, you've got a fan, Susan.
Yay. Welcome back, Margaret.
Sebastian also used to teach in the Middle East. That's so cool. I love how we reach teachers on the internet from everywhere. Like, it's so cool. And we can all learn from each other. Wendy says, hello. Vanessa says, hi. Katie's here from the Bahamas. Love it. Again, nice. I love how this is not like, this is international, right? We get to connect and learn and grow from all over. So I love hearing where you're tuning in from. I love hearing, tell us your favorite summer sip, whatever you're drinking. Cause that's kind of our theme for, I mean, today I just have water. Actually, I've got my big water bottle. I'm trying to get all my ounces of water in myself. So
that is tricky, but summer is the perfect time to do it.
It really is. Yeah. So it's a good time for it. All right. Well, without further ado, let's get into our awesome conversation we're going to have today. As I shared, I'm here with Susan from Shared Teaching, who is her first time on the podcast, but it's her second time being part of our Educate and Rejuvenate events. We're so thrilled to have her back. Susan, would you mind sharing a little bit about yourself and what you do at Shared Teaching?
Sure. So I would say 99% of my talking is all about writing because I love it and it doesn't get enough love in the world. And then I do have a podcast, a Shared Teaching podcast. So I release episodes once a week, and on there I talk about running systems for your classroom, writing, of course, and centers/sight words, and just teacher general inspiration. So I'm so happy to be here. I'm very excited.
I love that. And I'm so
excited. Reading the comments. Someone has a chocolate shake. That sounds good.
Yeah, chocolate shake, drinking water. Wendy's also drinking water. Margaret's drinking her sweet tea. Yum. Sarah, any flavored water? I love flavored water too. I love to add, I just love lemon. It's so classic, adding lemon to your water. Susan, I don't think you shared what you're drinking.
I'm drinking iced tea here.
Iced tea. You're there with Margaret drinking. You two are just like Twitter. She's like, I loved hearing from her before, and you're both drinking your sweet tea. I love it. Remember, Arnold Palmer for Vanessa, Yum Yum Latrice Coke Zero. I love Coke Zero. I'm like addicted. So it is my caffeine of choice. That, and I love chai too. All right. Stephanie says, right now, Mango Mama Limeade with mango. That sounds good. Jenny loves sweet iced tea. I love it. So reminder, because we've had a lot of you tune in since I originally said it, every comment on this live is an entry to win a Starbucks gift card. We do that on every Summer Sips podcast that I'm doing. So, and bonus entries if you tag friends in the comments. So tag any friends who you think might enjoy this conversation, who might like learning about their writing block and what they can do to improve it. Anyone you know who's a teacher, or even a homeschool parent or a parent who wants to help their children with writing, because I'm sure any of these tips will help them as well. Okay, so Susan, let's talk about writing. So all you're right. Passionate about making writing instruction easier and more fun and more joyful. What made this such a big focus for you?
I'm a little bit of a nerd. So when I was a little girl, I was obsessed with writing stories to the point where, this was before computers, so my parents bought me like a typewriter at Christmas time once, and I had a subscription to Writer's Digest magazine. And I just fell in love with learning all about the craft of writing. And so it was kind of, for me, a natural transition when I became a teacher to want to kind of instill that love in my students as well. And also learn, there's a very different mindset writing for yourself versus teaching it. And so that shift for me was just a fun challenge that I really welcomed.
Yeah, teaching, it really is like when you teach something, like you just get to improve that craft even more. And that's one thing that I love about teaching. And writing, it can just be such a tricky one sometimes with kids. A lot of kids are like, I'm not motivated to write. Like, they might love reading, but they don't like writing, or they feel intimidated, or they don't like their handwriting. That there are so many possible, so many possible things that, like, again, and for, it's often like a mindset thing or a belief. Like, and even as young as, you know, kindergarten, we have those things where you just like believe we can't do it. And so I think that really is a lot of when it comes to writing, is that instilling that in children, that yes, I can do this. I can write, right? Like, and it doesn't have to be perfect.
Exactly. Right. Cause they're so focused, I think, on like math and reading, that writing is just another extra. And a lot of teachers, I know I've been guilty in the past before, you don't have anything planned for writing that day, so you're like, oh, math just got extended.
Right. You're like, let's do more math, let's do more reading. Yeah, writing is it's a really easy one to like neglect as well, but it really is so important, because you think about so many jobs and things that kids are going to be doing in their future, and writing, and whether that be like writing, handwriting, or even just being able to, you know, format and like write an email, like type it out. But again, it's still that like skill of putting together sentences and all of that. It is necessary in today's world. And I know there are things with AI and all of that, but still, like, you need those writing skills. So let's talk about writing block. Because again, it's so easy for us teachers to also, like, again, our kids have their things about it, and we have our things where it's like, I find myself skipping writing block. What do you think most teachers think they need that you'd say they actually don't?
There's so many, so many things. But I think one of the biggest things is believing in the old style of writer's workshop, where you have kids on all different levels, and that can be really overwhelming, especially if you're not strong in teaching writing. So having to have, if you're not familiar, so it's the writing process. So maybe one kid's over here drafting and making his plan for writing, and then you got another kid over here that's already publishing, and then you got some other kids that are, you know, just editing or revising, and you have them all over the place throughout your classroom. So having to juggle all of that and try to navigate, what am I teaching for the day when my kids are at five different levels, not even considering like their writing ability level, just the
they're at different steps in the process. And then we also have the differing ability levels, which has always been a huge thing, but even more since 2020, for whatever reason, we all know. And we're still seeing it now. We're still seeing the impact of that. So we've got kids at different levels. And then, like you were saying, in their workshop, they might be at different phases in the writing process.
Right. So I really think that that's trying to juggle all that and then trying to navigate the lessons is one of the biggest mistakes, because it's just, it's overwhelming. And that leads us to wanting to shut down and skip. So, or pull out a writing prompt like, oh, this is easy. Like, let's just do this.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with writing prompts either. Right. Like they can really help us get going with, like, you know, just like a one day thing. Like, let's write about this. Let's write about that. I think there's definitely a time and a place for that. But also I do love kids being able to go through that full writing process where it's not just like, oh, I write it once and I'm done. Like, we actually want them to learn, like, oh, there's the brainstorming. There's being really intentional about what we want to write. There's writing our first draft and then looking at it with fresh eyes and doing the editing and the revising and publishing it. Like, it's so much more of a celebration if it's been a project than just like, oh, I did this writing prompt today. And
So I'm a big advocate of teaching students almost like what a published author would do for their process, where we have a bunch of different drafts. Maybe you don't pick any of them to publish. We keep trying and writing different things and experimenting. And maybe we only write a beginning over here and that's what we did for that day. And that is okay. It doesn't have to be a whole process every single time, every day, every week even.
Yeah. And I think that's wonderful because, like, I mean, as some of you know, I published a book recently, right? That's why we're live here on the Teacher Goals platform as well. My book is called Educate and Rejuvenate. And I turned in my first draft. Well, it was the first half. Like, it was the first half of a draft to them. And I got so much feedback. And I realized, I'm like, I need to scrap a whole bunch of this. Like, you know, but I got my juices flowing. And then it was, it'll be like, oh, my introduction. That's actually not the introduction for the whole book. That's the beginning of chapter three. And I'm rearranging and revising and editing and all of that. I think it's awesome for kids to be able to learn that too. And just to be able to, I think it also helps you get out of your head so much about this needs to be perfect on that first time, because, you know, this is a rough draft. Like, when you can get that into kids' heads, like, it does not have to be perfect. This is me just getting it all down. And then I'm going to be able to take this and turn it into something even better.
Right. For sure. And I know that even state testing, they have a chance to kind of plan and edit before they finish their drafts for the writing part, at least in some states.
Yeah. And that can definitely vary depending on your state. Or I know we have people in the Bahamas and the Middle East and wherever you might be teaching. So take everything we say and apply it to your situation. And one thing I always want to say to all of you is what we're here to share. We're here to share our knowledge and our experience. And you're here to take what works for you and leave the rest. And because we all know all of our situations are different. We have a comment from Stephanie here. I would love for you to address this too, Susan. So she says, I'm good with short writing prompts, but it's hard to find enough time for the writing process on projects. And then she added, curriculum jumps right to kids only writing full essays, but I want to make a module of breaking it down. I think you have a lot to share about that.
I do. But first, Stephanie, I want to know what grade level you teach, because that kind of plays into it. I'm guessing a little bit more, maybe upper elementary because of the full essays. But weigh in and let me know. And while I'm waiting for you to tell me your grade level, I'll talk a little bit about finding time for projects. So when you break apart your lessons into mini lessons, you're only spending less than 10 minutes a day on your lesson, which is really giving kids a lot more time to write. And if you structure it where you're building up to the end goal of the project, then each day they're just doing a little bit more at a time. All right, so fourth grade. So I was pretty close to that.
I was thinking around fourth or fifth. So perfect.
So yeah, I would say you're teaching them introduction for a few days, like how to write a proper introduction. And then you're moving on to the body of your essay for a couple of days. And then you're showing them how the conclusion ties in with the introduction. So the whole thing is maybe taking 2 weeks. So maybe like every 2 weeks, you're having a full essay from start to finish, but they're not writing the whole thing in one day, if that makes sense. And if that helps, let me know. If you have more questions, let me know as well.
Yeah, and I love that because It's so kind of changing that like mindset of, oh, I need to find so much time to just a little bit as up. Like when I was writing my book, I was doing so many things. It was ridiculous. Like the fact that I was even writing a book was kind of like, how am I doing this? But it was like 10 minutes a day, 20 minutes a day. And over the course of a year, suddenly I had a whole book, you know? So it could even be a year long project where they go through this, or it could be like a semester, depending on, I mean, obviously a book is much more than our students are going to be writing, right? So again,
I feel like they're writing a book.
It might feel like it. I mean, it's age appropriate, right? To me, a whole book might be what an essay is to a fourth grader, right? So, but I think it's just about the little bit at a time. And another thing when I was in the classroom is that it would be something that when they finish their work, they could get out their writing project. So obviously some students would get more time for that than others, but it was a good like thing they could get out and work on at any other time too. So I don't know. Do you have anything else to add to that, Susan?
I just 100% agree with that because that's just how I teach. I teach in small little bites, and then I only plan for, I want to say like 6 published pieces for the whole year. So like 2 per each writing genre. And so it doesn't have to be a big thing. And like I said, you're not publishing every week. You're not writing a whole thing each time. Stephanie says we take about 3 weeks for each one, but some kids get stuck on earlier steps and then rush later steps. I'm working on trying to break it down into smaller steps. Yes. And I think that's the tricky thing about writing is you have your different levels across the class. So you're always like, okay, but this one's over here writing paragraphs and this one's struggling with sounds. And so for me, once you have your lessons in place and you know the steps to get them there, that's where the small group and the conferencing is going to come into play. And you want to teach to the majority of your class, just like you would with math or science or reading. You're going to teach to where the majority of your class is for writing and then pull them aside when they're independently writing to work on these other things.
I love that. Yeah. And so like each day, like let's say you have that 10 or 20 minute block, like you work with a group each day on that, for example. And again, you get to figure out how that works in your schedule. Maybe you have writing like rotations, writer's workshop or no. Vanessa says, I teach first grade. My team and I struggle with, should we be spending more time on teaching what is a sentence, how to write a sentence, stretching out sounds, handwriting, etc., versus a writing piece? Susan, what do you have to say there?
Okay. So I used to teach first grade for many years, and I feel like all of those things you mentioned about writing the sentence, doing the sounds, handwriting is built into your writing lessons when you're teaching them about writing a piece. So for example, when you're modeling, you're saying, okay, I went to the park. Help me write this story about going to the park. This is my personal narrative. How should I start? And the kids are giving you ideas and examples. And so you're like, I think that's a capital letter. I'm going to write a capital I. I went to the park. What sounds do I hear next? You're modeling and you're thinking aloud. And so it's built within. And then for handwriting, Dee Dee Wills, I think she's a kindergarten.
Yeah.
She has an amazing handwriting program that I've used for many years. And it's really quick. And then you just do like 5 to 10 minutes of like a focused letter. And then that works amazing. So you could do that as like almost like a pre-writing activity, pull out the handwriting sheets, spend 5 minutes, then move into the lesson where you're modeling the sounds and stretching out sentences. So hopefully that helps, Vanessa.
Yes. Okay. I love that today we are getting so many questions in the chat. Like, take advantage of this, everybody. Like, I have my planned questions, but yours take 100% priority if you're here live. So that's also if you're listening on my podcast feed or Susan's, because we are putting these on our podcast, like come live, because then you get your questions answered. So much fun. And we'll be doing this during the event too. So it's going to be a great time. It. Okay, Sarah also has a question. I have had the Title I tutor help with this as well. Oh, and during our intervention time work with students or one-on-one small groups as well. So she just had that to add. I love that. Vanessa added, our older grades still see students struggling with punctuation and spelling. Absolutely. 100%. Mm-hmm. I think that's where that conference thing that you were mentioning and the differentiation and all of
and
that.
And also is really you set up some kind of writing folder. I always do the page protectors, and having some kind of form in there about proper punctuation or spelling hints or having some kind of sound wall, even with older grades, I think is still really beneficial.
Absolutely. I think it's beneficial for every grade. And even for the students who like are further ahead, it's still helpful to have that around as reminders, because how often, like, there have actually been studies. And again, because you all, well, you may know I'm obsessed with psychology and the brain and all those things. Like, you know, a few years from something, we remember like maybe 40 to 60% of it, or like even less. It's like, we don't always retain every, we like retain what we think is the most important and then forget some. So review is always powerful for all the kids. So I love the idea of having that any age, any level. Mm-hmm. Alexia says, should we be adding time limits to get a part of the writing piece done? I teach sixth grade. What do you think?
I would say yes, because you want them to have a project that you have to grade later. So, and there should be just natural time limits within your writing time. You only have so much time in a day for them to write. Right. So if they're really struggling or they're just dragging their feet and not getting to it, then maybe you have to look at, like Kelsey said, when they have some extra free time, or maybe instead of doing, I don't know, free computer choice, they're working on their writing to get it done. But let them know, especially sixth grade, this is the deadline, because now they're mm-hmm. middle school, at least where I'm at, and yeah. they really need to adhere to those time frames, because we're preparing them for, you know, high school and college.
Yeah, and I would add to that too. I agree with everything you said. And I think that's also when we ask the question, why, or what else is happening there, right? Like, have a conversation right. with their students. See, where is that block? What like possible limiting belief do they have about themselves and their writing? Or are they just not motivated because of like other reasons? And also knowing that you as the teacher only have so much control, right? Like, yes, there's mm-hmm. a deadline, there's a timeline. And if they don't get it turned in and they don't get the grade that they would want, like, you know, that's like ultimately maybe part of their journey. Like we talked about this a lot on the last podcast, that like, kids like maybe like part of it, they're, like they're going to pass through your classroom for 1 year and maybe they struggle with writing, and that's something that happens for a few years, and then like at some point it clicks, and that was what their journey was. So don't put too much pressure on yourself. You do absolutely everything you can, you connect with the student, you know, all of that, but just know that not every student is going to meet every benchmark, and that's okay. It doesn't mean that they're going to fail in life.
Such good points. I love it. It's okay. Life lessons, right? Like,
it's what?
It's life lessons.
Yes, I know. In my work, a lot of what I talk about is like coaching and psychology and all of that. And it's so important to just, you know, yes, we have our deadlines, we have our structure, we have all this, but also knowing that, you know, connection is such an important piece of that, and just trusting that student that, you know, they're going to find their way, whether it's the year they're in your classroom or not, right?
Mm-hmm. And I'll just add to Alexia, that think about what the assignments are. So if you're not offering them like free choice and you're telling them what they have to write, sometimes that really plays into them not wanting to write too. So maybe if there's some wiggle room there for them to have a choice, maybe it's the same genre that you want, but they have a choice on what they're writing about, that can really help too.
Or I love that.
And the way you publish it, like, can they turn their writing into a script and they have a little podcast, or can they film like a little video where they have audio voiceover, like just.
Yeah.
Especially that grade.
That's one thing I love too. So I currently homeschool right now, right? But I think some of these things we can do as teachers too, is how to like, is there a way to adjust it? Not where it adds like a ton of more work to your plate, obviously, mm-hmm. because we can't like do that for every single child when we're in a classroom. But like for my own child, for example, one of them, and I'm not always going to name which one, but struggled with wanting to write. But they also loved like making little dumb videos in CapCut. And I was like, what if we combine this? And we're like, let's write an actual script. And then all of a sudden, like, oh yeah, like I want to write that, you know, or I want to write a book about like a comic book. Yeah, I want to do that. So it's like kind of figuring out what is a baby step for them that they could do.
Right.
So that can be awesome too. Okay, Wendy says, I teach third grade and students came to me not being able to independently write sentences. We have to get them to write extensive paragraphs on the NYS test in the spring. How do you suggest progressing to that and deal with the apathy many kids come to school with today?
I think, again, it's going to come to breaking it down into smaller bits so it's not so overwhelming in the beginning. So we're just going to start on how to write a paragraph. And if we're struggling how to write the sentences, then that's part of my think aloud and modeling. Even with them being third graders, you're going to want to talk to them about identifying this is a sentence, this is not a sentence, and go back to those beginning lessons, especially if the majority of your class is missing that core piece, they're really going to need that instruction. So be okay with stepping back in your instruction. Don't feel like you're, oh, I'm so far ahead because or so far behind because they have to write all these, you know, five paragraph essays, but just say, hey, this is where they're at. And if you can get them even writing a paragraph by, let's say, Christmas time, then they will really take off after that, because kids, when once they get it and that light bulb goes on, they go fast. So just think about where they're at, deal with that, and you'll get them where they need to be, hopefully, especially those higher level students. They will be able to do that. Maybe it's pulling a group aside independently that are already on level, but working with the rest of the class, here's how we stretch out the sentences. Here's what we need to do to learn how to write paragraphs.
I just love everything you share there, Susan. So amazing. Yes, I think it's so important to, I mean, and it's part of just like accepting reality, right? Like this is where they are. So this is where I need to meet them. I can't teach them to do this when they can't do this yet. And but when they get that foundation, then they can run with it. So I just love that. Vanessa added, we do a lot of modeling, but they are struggling to transfer into their own writing.
So again, Vanessa, I'm not sure what grade level, but I would suggest after you're done modeling, you take your model away because that's for the students. Okay. Yeah. So take your model away. They go back to their seats. They're going to want to just copy what you did. So you just take it away and you let them kind of have that independent struggle. It's very healthy for them. And even if you want, you can have them do partners and your partners can help each other. Okay, what do I want to say? Okay, this is what I'm going to say. And then maybe the next day, the other partner is helping the other student write the sentences and they kind of go back and forth like that. So think of other ways you can support them, but I would definitely say take that model away because even second and third grade, they want to just, oh, this is really easy. I'm just going to copy what you wrote.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yes. Take that away so they can do it on their own. And then I think that's where like feedback comes in too, because then it's like, do it. I will help you. I'll support you. I'll give you that feedback. Right. And I know you shared some, but any writing curriculum or resources that you like?
I'm biased. I like my own.
Yes. Yes, Susan. So again, she's here answering all your questions, right? So you're asking her, you're trusting her advice. Be sure to check her out. Be sure to follow Shared Teaching. And also, Wendy says she's excited for the summit. She will be at the Educate Rejuvenate Conference with her session where we're diving even deeper into all of this. So make sure at the bottom of the screen, you'll see that link, educateandrejuvenate.com/summer2025. If you love what's being shared here today, you're going to get her full session and also so many more experts like this in all the different areas, coaching, mindset, yoga, comedy, teacher comedy with Anna Kowal from Board Teachers.
I love her.
You're going to want to be there. We're going to have such a good time. Like, imagine this, like we're having fun right now, but we're going to be in Zoom where it's not just our faces. You can have your camera on too if you want. We're going to be in a room together. It's going to be so fun. You can also have it off if you prefer. Like if you're like, wait, no, you can have it off. Anytime. But I love
or an avatar.
Or an avatar. Or like just a picture of your face smiling. I love that too. But we really want to see you there. We're going to have so much fun. And did I mention you can join us for only $5? And as it says right now, buy one, get one free tickets and soon. That soon is tomorrow. And the BOGO is going away. It's not coming back. So you can come and a friend can come for $5. Like that's crazy. That's like $2.50 a ticket. Like That pair is up crazy. With someone in the comments. Be like, let's go to
right.
Come on. It's gonna be a great time. Okay, so let's get
I love
to
how
some
many
more
questions we have.
I know. I'm like, this is the most we've had in any of them so far. So Susan, take that as a compliment. People are loving what you had to share and they're like, ooh, she's good. I'm gonna ask her. So much fun. Sarah, and we have Maria here from the Philippines. Love it. I love
Hi,
seeing
Maria.
You here. From
I have a lot
over.
Of coworkers that are from the Philippines.
So fun. Sarah says, what is your view in the editing process? Student-led with teacher as an assistant, teacher-student one-on-one meeting.
Okay, so I do whole class. So I actually have a model of a story that I wrote, and I will show them an editing checklist, and we go through piece by piece. Okay, first we're looking for spelling. Now I'm looking at my writing for spelling. Do you see any spelling errors? And the students are helping me find them. And then when they go to their seats, they're doing the same thing by themselves with a checklist. And then they're going to, in the share time, they're going to meet with a peer, and the peers are going back and forth checking each other's work. So it's kind of a mix for me. And it really just depends on the grade level and the amount of release of responsibility you want to give your class. Like if they are really struggling finding spelling errors and all of that kind of stuff, then maybe small groups or like I said, the peer process. The point is just them to do the activity and understand they're looking for mistakes, but it doesn't have to be perfect. That's not what I'm going for. I'm just going for them understanding the process of what, mm-hmm. what is editing, what does editing look like. And then you can always pull a small group together and say, okay, let's look at what you did today. Oh, I found a couple more, but you want to keep it in a positive light. You don't want to be like, oh, well, everything here is messed up. Always make sure that you start and have something positive, just like you would for a parent-teacher conference, because you want to really build them up, because writing is hard and it's challenging, mm-hmm. especially editing.
Yes. And that, I love that you mentioned that, because that's one thing I love to talk about a lot, is we have to like look at even those little wins along the way, like depending on where they're at, like you put together a sentence that was cohesive, amazing, you know, mm-hmm. wherever they're at, like, or like you did a rough draft and maybe it's very, very rough, but they did it, right? So again, it's
your spaces are 5 inches apart, but you have spaces in your words.
Right. So every little improvement, we want to point that out, because when they can see little wins, they're like, oh, I can do this. It really lifts them up. Like, and this is for all people. This is for grownups. This is for kids. And so when we understand that that's just like an innate human thing, that when we can notice progress, it helps us build momentum. We want to use that with our students or with our own children. So Aurora's here from Chile. Love it. Wendy, homeschool mom, Wendy. She's from our club community. A lot of people here, like Vanessa, Hannah. I love seeing the names I recognize. I love seeing the new names too. Wendy is a homeschool mom. My older kids want to do what the younger kids do when they get bored and cause issues. What should I do?
Bless you, Wendy. I can only imagine. That's like running your one room schoolhouse, right? Like,
yep.
what did my parents do back in the day? I would say that's tricky, because I feel like I need a little bit more context. So if we're talking about your teaching writing, then I would start with the older kids and make sure that they have their assignment, and then move on to the younger kids and give them their assignment. So then the older kids are writing while the younger kids are getting their lesson, and kind of work that way. So that way, hopefully they're independently working and not causing issues while you're working with your younger kids. Kelsey, you're a homeschool mom. You have anything to weigh in?
Oh, yes. I mean, for me, the big thing is just finding little ways to keep the younger kids happy while you are working with the older kids, right? So I'll be honest, sometimes that is screen time for me. Let's just be real. Like, sometimes it is, like, I let the kids, like younger kids, watch something educational while I work with the older kids, and I'm okay with that. Not always, right? Sometimes it is like, you know, we have like a corner of like the little toys that the younger kids can play with while I work with the older kids. And again, all my kids, I have three. So my youngest is getting a bit older, And so now it hasn't been as big of a deal. Like, we haven't needed that screen time crutch as much. Also because we use a combination of online and not online curriculum. So like, I'll work with one child while the other is like doing their computer school is what we call it. So I guess that's still screen time, but it's like actually part of their curriculum. So I think it's just like getting into a structure and a routine. I would say that is the biggest thing. And I know that we have people talking about that at Educate and Rejuvenate that will really help you. And Wendy, definitely we have like a homeschool section of the event as well. And what I've loved and the feedback we've gotten from the event too is that we've had teachers think, I wasn't going to watch the homeschool sessions. I didn't think they'd apply to me, but I actually learned a lot, and vice versa. So it's great that we can all learn from each other because we all have that shared goal of teaching kids, right? So it's always great to get another view of it, right? Hannah says, I used to teach middle. I moved to elementary for 5 years. Now I'm heading back to middle. I have so many things I want to do for them that were best practice in elementary. They need the support. Yes, 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 yes.
Absolutely. And I was just talking about this on my podcast yesterday, that I'm a firm believer in centers, even with like middle school age kids. Mm-hmm. When I taught fourth, they loved doing centers as well. So I don't understand why it's such a, nope, we're done with all these things now because you finished elementary and now we're moving on. They're still kids. They still need that play and that experience of talking and interacting and hands-on. And so good for you. I'm glad you're doing that.
Yes. So many great ideas here. I'm loving it too. Katie has a question. What would the project consist of, final pieces or including a build towards the final piece, a paragraph at a time?
I think it really depends on your time frame. I would say in the beginning, you're just having like little pieces. And then, so what I do when I teach my lessons is the kids are, they're learning what personal narratives are, and they're just practicing, and then they're practicing, and then they're practicing. And then after like maybe 2 weeks, now we're actually getting into like, okay, we're working towards this end goal, which is having a personal narrative story. And then they're putting in, then they start again from the beginning and like, okay, now we're doing the beginning of this story. Now we're doing the middle of the story. Now we're doing the end of the story. Now we have a whole story. And then we repeat that process till we have a couple of them. And then I like them to choose which one they're going to publish. So kind of bold.
I love that. And I love that element of choice, kind of like the same thing we were talking about before. It gives the kids like more ownership. It makes them more excited about their work. And the publishing part is just so rewarding.
Like, right? Oh. Yes.
Alexia says, state testing time students, when conferencing, how many skills should we bring to the attention to the student?
So I am hoping that throughout the whole year, you are working with them on conferencing with them. So I personally like to set one goal for my students, and then they're just working on that one goal. So your one goal is having an amazing introduction. And once I see that you have that amazing introduction, then I'm giving you a new goal of something else. So you're really only bringing one skill, just like you would for a mini lesson, because you don't want to overwhelm the student. If you see they have an old skill maybe that they're falling back on, you can say like, hey, remember when we did this? Like, maybe let's work on that a little bit more. And your new goal, yeah, you're making some good progress towards it. Mm-hmm. So maybe you're working on these two things now, but one's a goal that was already introduced and one's their newer one.
Love, love, love that. And we're a bit behind on comments. So now seeing like, I think these were all from when we were talking about the event. But again, we definitely want to see you there. Susan prepared an awesome session. Yes. We'll talk about a little bit more in just a second. Hannah says, Educate and Rejuvenate is the best conference. I'm so glad I found it. Jenny's excited. Wendy,
and it's
can't
so affordable.
It's so affordable. It's $5. And I know some of you are not in the U.S., so it'll transfer to your currency. But again, that's part of why we wanted to make it low price. So wherever you are, and right now you would get two tickets for only through tomorrow, like just over 24 hours, you would get two tickets for that $5. But if you do decide to upgrade to Platinum, you'll start getting access to like Susan's session, for example, on the 1st. That is next week, which is just blowing my mind.
Oh, that is,
the event is coming up. But my team is already working on loading sessions in. We are planning for those of you, and I know some of you here are in the Educate and Rejuvenate Club or have Platinum because they know some of your names. For those of you, you get access starting on, I think that's next Tuesday or Wednesday, the first, whatever day that is. I'm not sure if we'll have every single session loaded, but the goal is that we'll at minimum have a lot of them in there so you can start, and then there we're all going to be there by the time general admission access begins. Can professional development hours be earned? Yes. Yes. We offer a professional development certificate for the event. You'll get two different certificates, actually. You'll get one for the live portion that has the set hours for the live portion. And then you'll get one for the pre-recorded portion where it's up to you to keep track of how many hours and which ones you watch. We have a tracking sheet for you that you then fill in with how many of the hours you did of that. So you'll get two. And if you do Platinum, you'll get a bit more because we do have a Platinum bonus day, and you'll just have time to watch more of the pre-recorded sessions as well. Great question. And I love seeing, and we're not going to be able to share every comment because, again, I'm like behind on the comments, but I love seeing that you're sharing tips and tricks with each other in the chat. And that's what happens during the event too. Everybody's always chiming in and sharing. And then for the pre-recorded sessions, every person, so like Susan, will have a thread in the app. So it's all taking place in our mobile app. Every presenter will have their own thread where we're encouraging the presenter to get in and answer questions. We can't guarantee that, but we're encouraging all our presenters to come in and answer questions. And then you can all discuss and talk and share your own ideas. Like, oh, this is the idea I got when I was watching Susan's session, or when I was watching Malia's session, or whoever you're watching, right? It's going to be so much fun. Sarah is excited. It's her first year joining.
Welcome, Sarah.
Wendy said, I may have missed this. Oh, and I think we got off track too when we were answering this before because we talked about your awesome curriculum. Is there a specific writing program you may use or a book you suggest for writing? I mean, probably yours, but.
It's a little bit biased. I only have second grade, but somebody else in the comments mentioned, where is it? A book? Oh, I didn't think it was
The Writing Revolution.
There you go.
Was that it from Latrice? Love Latrice. Yes. She's been part of our community for years.
Now, I will say I have actually, it's on my dresser to read. So I've ordered it. I haven't read it. That was my summer reading. And there's also The Writing Rope as well, which I highly recommend The Writing Rope first and then work on that one. So those are some really good books that are out there. They are a little pricier because they are like PD books. But I think they're well worth it, and the knowledge that you'll gain on how to teach writing.
Awesome. Yes, I love so many suggestions, and you're all sharing them in the chat too. So great. Wendy's Platinum for the event, Stephanie's Platinum. And yes, I love it. I love seeing your familiar names. Like, I know you, Stephanie. I know you, Wendy. I love getting to know all of you in the community. It's so much fun. And I love seeing the new names too. Like, it just warms my heart because we have so much fun when we come together and educate and rejuvenate together. So I actually think so far we've gotten through all the chat questions, though maybe more will pop in. Because we spent a majority of our time there, did you have a success story you wanted to share, either a teacher or student win? We're skipping to the last question.
Sure.
From simplifying writing.
I would say it's kind of my own success story. So I took quite a while of COVID time to really hone in on what specific lessons and mini lessons and created the slides. And so I've used my personal curriculum that I've written for myself for what is it, 5 years now? So just having that like in my drive and say, oh, I know exactly what I'm teaching this day, and just being able to pull it up, for me, that was such a success because it freed up so much more of my time to focus on the math and the reading and the science and the social studies that always gets shoved somewhere too. So that to me is a win, is just being able to have my students enjoying writing and asking for it. And then like Kelsey, I didn't even tell them like, hey, you can do this during center time, but they would come up to me and ask, hey, can I finish my story I was working on? And I'm like, oh, well, who am I to say no, right? Like, go for it. So just that. Hearing those kind of things from students has been so rewarding.
Oh, I love that so much. And like through all the work that you put into like really honing in your framework, I know like that takes a lot of time and energy. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited that you're sharing like part of that at our Educate and Rejuvenate event with your session. So can you give us a little sneak peek of what you're going to be sharing during the event?
Of course. So my session's called Finding Success in Your Writing Block. And I broke it down into four different components. So we're talking about what you need to have in your writing block from my point of view, of course. And then also how to plan out and what should be included in your mini lessons. And then we are talking about creating a lesson planning framework for your writing. So it's really easy to get those lesson plans knocked off in your short prep periods. And then the last is we're going over some troubleshooting of what are some common issues that I've seen that teachers have during writing time. And we're just talking about those. So a lot packed into a 30-minute session.
That's and that's what I love too. You're like, oh, and it's only 30 minutes, because I know that's one thing a lot of teachers are like, I don't have time to like, you know, watch a 3-hour thing or whatever. So mm-hmm. again, you're going to get so much in little bite-sized pieces, and you can also pick and choose what's relevant to you. But if you are, we're 45 minutes into this podcast, if you're enjoying it, you're definitely going to want to check out Susan's session. Shorter than we've even been talking, so much packed into there. What I love is, as you shared your win, we got some others commenting their wins. So my success story, kids sending me creative writing they've done, even though school was out a month ago.
Amazing. Oh, I love that.
Wendy says, my daughter letting me read what I wrote in her journal. Oh, or what she wrote. I love that. Jenny says, your session sounds amazing. Of course it does.
Thanks, Jenny. Hopefully you'll join.
Yes, during the event. Okay, so final question we're going to take from the chat, because I know we want to talk a little bit more about the event and some wrap-up questions and all of that. But Stephanie says, how much time should be devoted to a writing block? I have 110 minutes for reading, writing, and social studies daily. And I bet you'll answer more of this in your session, but just short version.
Short version, Stephanie, I have an amazing blog post on sharedteaching.com that goes through this and talks about different scenarios for time. So it can be as short as 30 minutes. So hopefully you can check that out. If you want to email me, Susan@sharedteaching.com, I can actually send you the link for that. And I won't add you to my email list.
Of course you have a blog post for that. I bet you have a blog post for anything writing.
Right?
So back to the event. Why did you decide to join us again? I know you were part of our winter event. It's your mm-hmm. first time being part of our summer one, which is even bigger and better. I love this summer event. But why did you decide
I'm loving
to come
the energy.
Back? Yeah, well, the energy's fun.
Right? As you can see, I love talking about writing, and you gave me an amazing platform to be able to talk about it. So I was like, it was a no-brainer.
I love it. I love it. I'm so glad that you're here and that you're sharing your passion for writing. And a big reason why I created this event is because, as you can all tell with Susan, like, you're going to learn so many practical strategies to help you with teaching. Like, we bring in like incredible people like Susan, who, like, you can tell she knows her stuff about writing. We brought in people who know their stuff about STEM, about reading, about like the science of reading, about augmented reality, like all sorts of fun things, homeschooling, organization, classroom management, all of it, right? What you expect at PD, but also we bring in the Rejuvenate too. So it's Educate and Rejuvenate. And that is what's really unique about this event. I don't know of another online teacher conference that starts their day each day with like a yoga, like high energy yoga dance type workout, and then gets into comedy, and then gets into life coaching. And then you've got all these pre-recorded sessions and roundtables to talk about the strategy. It really brings it all together, because one thing we're all about is that we're not just a teacher. We're so many other things too. Like, we've got these signs that we've been encouraging people to post on social media. Like, I educate and look, oh, I educate and inspire. Susan's got hers. Again, I would love for all of you to comment, and actually let me know if it sends you this, because I had it working on Instagram. If you're on Facebook, let us know if you comment, I educate and, if it sends you the link to this, because I forgot to set it up on Facebook. And then my team member said she would do it, and I can't remember if she's done it yet. But it will be. So comment, I educate and, let us know what yours is. What is your I educate and, do you, and again, I have a whole bunch of these here. I did a million. I educate and drink Coke Zero. Again, because we are not just teachers, right? We are teachers. It's our passion. It's our job. It's our career. Or if you're a homeschool parent, it's just like your passion for teaching your kids. But we also need to make sure we're taking care of ourselves outside of that. And that's what the event, it brings it all together. And that is what this event is all about. The energy, the vibes. And honestly, like, Those of you who've been there, tell us in the chat what the energy is like at this event. And it's going to be even better this year. And can I tell you why? It's going to be the best year yet, because it's the first year we're all together on Zoom in a room where we can see each other. It's the first year that I've actually put together an Educate and Rejuvenate playlist that's going to like be playing during breaks, so that we're giving you the link to the playlist so we can really get the vibes. Yes! And see, right as I say we have a playlist, we have an Educate and Sing, right? And let me tell you, we're going to be bringing some of that music into the event too. It's going to be fun. I Educate, and I'm that gym girly. Oh, looks like it worked, because look at that. Sent you the secret link to your team. Thank you, our mini chat bot. Hopefully it worked. Let us know, one of you, maybe you got the link. And if it was the right link, I would love to know. You should be able to like tap like, I'm ready, and then I'll send you the sign. Wendy says, the energy and variety is amazing. You can pick and choose what will be helpful for you. It is so fun. Margaret says, it's inspiring. We're just really going to have a great time. Like, it's really, it's not about the presenters knowing everything or me knowing everything and sharing our knowledge with you. Like, yes, there's that, but also it's the community coming together, us sharing with each other, us lifting each other up. It's a lot about the energy and the momentum that this event brings. It's, yeah, like Hannah just said it. The energy is so electrifying. The community is amazing. I've even met people in real life from the Educate and Rejuvenate. Yes, and Sarah educates and travels, so maybe she's up for a meetup too. I know we've been asked, when are you going to do an in-person event? And I would love to. It's like on my list of things I would love to do, but obviously that's a lot of time and budget. We're not quite there yet, but one day that is on my list. Okay, so there's my plug about the event. Please go to educateandrejuvenate.com/summer2025. Check it out. Join us. We would love for you to be at the event. Nicole said it worked. She got the link. Yes. Thank you, Kelsey Thomas. If it's not confusing, I've got another Kelsey on my team. Oh, and no, I keep saying Thomas. She got married. Kelsey Hemphill. I'm not used to that yet. Okay. So we got some fun wrap-up questions for you, Susan. What is the funniest thing a student has ever said to you?
So I'm not sure if it's funny, haha, but I found it amusing. So I do this goal setting activity with my students where they pick a word that they want to focus on for the school year. And it's called One Word. I got it from TPT. And one of those girls picked growful, grow F-U-L-L. And her explanation to me was so funny, because she's like, you know, it's when you do math for 1 week and you're really bad at it, but then the next week you're good. You're growful.
Oh my gosh. I love that so much. That's like, I mean, it's like so cute, but just heartwarming too. Oh, love that. I love that so much. And then what is one writing related tip, or just any tip, that helps teachers feel more rejuvenated, not just productive?
So my biggest thing is, because it's a mindset thing for writing. We don't have a set curriculum that we're given. We're not given any kind of training usually in our teacher preparation classes. So I say that when you're teaching writing, at the end of the lesson, you're picking just one thing that worked well. And so it's kind of like a growth mindset journal. You're just focusing on the wins. What was your win for writing? And then hopefully that'll turn it around to you're really loving it and you're enjoying it like I do.
I love that so much. Oh my gosh, we've had so much fun today. I'm like looking at the comments and just like, you can just see I'm smiling. I just love being here with all of you. Okay, and you already shared your sign, your I Educate and.
I did.
With that. We went way off script today, Susan. Remember how I was like, oh, we'll pretty much stick to this. But luckily, I think you did amazing. I hope you feel like you did, because you
I do. I feel really great, because, you know, sometimes you always question yourself, like, hey, do I know my stuff? Or, you know, so this really helped me as well as helping all of you. And like I said, I love helping people out and getting them enjoying teaching writing, because it can be tricky, but it's worth it when you see the growth of the students.
Absolutely. And can you just share quickly where people can follow you? Like, if they're like, I want more from Susan, I don't want to wait until your session, even though they should come to the event and come to your session, where should they follow you, like, online?
I'm really bad with social media, but across all platforms, I'm at Shared Teaching. And then for sure, I have my podcast, Shared Teaching Podcast, and I have my website by the same name, sharedteaching.com. So you can read the blog or listen to the podcast or do both. And that's usually where I hang out.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Susan, for being here.
It was amazing and fun. And I appreciate all of you that came live to watch. And you really made it a memorable, fun experience. So thank you.
So fun. A Wendy printed her sign. Hannah, thanks you for being here. Alexia agrees that you did amazing. Okay, before I forget, need to pick our gift card winner. So I'm going to randomly scroll and boom. Latrice, you are the winner of the Starbucks gift card. Latrice Daniels, this was the comment that I randomly scrolled to. So,
aw, congratulations.
That's a good comment.
That is a good comment.
So, Latrice, please email us at hello@educateandrejuvenate.com. We will get you your gift card. I'll put your name on the list. And again, we will do another gift card giveaway on the next Summer Sips podcast, which is tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Mountain Time. I did a few of these. We will be chatting with Laura Banks about cravings and food. So again, it's not even teaching related because we have a few sessions that are more just about you holistically. So if you are struggling with cravings or have it like any sort of health goal, make sure to join us on that podcast live tomorrow or check it out on Educate and Rejuvenate the podcast or the Educate and Rejuvenate app for the replay. Okay, thank you, thank you, thank you, everybody, for being here. And again, we would love for you to grab your ticket to the Educate and Rejuvenate event. Here is what that page, that is our outline that we did not stick to. Here is what that page looks like. It'll come right here. Go to educateandrejuvenate.com/summer2025. Or if you are on Susan's podcast, use her link so she gets credit for it. And then you'll see this awesome screen. You'll register for as low as $5. You'll choose your ticket level. You'll buy your ticket. And if you want to learn more about the event, if you're like, I still want to know more, just come here. You can click on each speaker to learn more about them. Again, that link on the bottom of the screen is where you'll want to go to grab your ticket. So thank you again, everybody, for being here. We hope to see you at Educate and Rejuvenate Summer 2025. And make sure you follow Susan, too.
Thank you. I had fun.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
If you loved what you heard in this episode, don't forget to hit that follow or subscribe button wherever you're listening or watching. And hey, if you're ready to take this work even deeper beyond just a podcast episode, you'll love the book that I wrote with Teacher Goals. It's called Educate and Rejuvenate, a 3-step guide to revitalize your teaching, renew your spirit, and reignite your passion for life. This isn't just a book you read, it's a whole experience. With your copy, you'll also get access to a full PDF workbook and exclusive reader-only course modules in our mobile app, designed to help you not just consume the content, but actually apply it to your life, even if you only have a few minutes at a time. So if you're ready to make Educate and Rejuvenate not just something you listen to, but a lifestyle you live and a mantra you carry with you every day, grab your copy on Amazon and head to educateandrejuvenate.com/book to claim your bonuses.
Great job. That was awesome.